Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another podcast. I'm Christina Vogt, Assistant Editor for Consultant360.com. I'm speaking with board-certified nurse practitioner Lucia Novak, Director of the Riverside Diabetes Center and Adjunct Assistant Professor in the Graduate School of Nursing at Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences in Maryland. This podcast series is centered around clinical inertia and the role of long-acting insulin therapy in the physiologic approach to diabetes management. What role can early treatment initiation with long-acting insulins play, and why might these insulins be preferable over others?
They are a safe and effective blood glucose-lowering medication. They're appropriate for use at any point in a patient's career with diabetes, but most importantly, when non-insulin agents are either not safe or appropriate or insufficient as far as their therapeutic effect, and therefore insulin needs to be added. So early treatment is also debatable because we do have data that shows us that GLP-1 receptor agonist, which is another injectable type of medicine, could come into the equation even before insulin. But as long as our patients continue to live with the disease and they continue to experience beta cell failure and inability to make enough insulin, insulin does enter the equation for quite a few of our patients with type 2 diabetes. When we're looking at all of the insulin and we're comparing these newer ultra-long basal insulins with those that have been around for a while, the question comes, well, why would I prefer these agents over others? They seem to be more expensive. There's other things associated that, you know, why can't I just use the good and true that we've used for so long that I'm familiar with? Well, what we do know about these newer ultra-long acting insulin, in particular, I'm looking at the U300 glargine and the U100 and U200 concentrations of degludec. Both of those ultra-long-acting basals have been associated with less hypoglycemia, less glucose variability, which also then directly contributes to less hypoglycemia, and a more predictable behavior. Not to mention, they extend their action, duration of action is over a 24-hour period. So that makes them very user-friendly for the patient that needs to take them as far as timing. The very long duration sometimes can allow for the oops factor that many of our patients experience when they may not remember to take their insulin at the same time every day. And it just makes them, I think they actually report that they feel better when there's less glucose variability, especially my type 1 patients tend to pick up on that. And if you've got an insulin that's more predictable, less variability, with a true long 24-hour, if not longer, duration of action, then you have less over-basalination with these types of insulin products. So you tend to not have to give them more insulin than they may actually require as far as basal.
What barriers may impede the implementation of long-acting insulins in the treatment plan?
As far as barriers that implement when we can even add insulin, so we talked about a lot of the barriers, and they actually apply, the ones that I've already previously mentioned. But when we're talking about actually adding insulin, we may have on the provider side of the equation lack of familiarity with some of these newer insulins. There's too many treatment choices. They're not sure which one to actually choose, especially when you're looking at individualizing treatment. Change is time consuming, explaining the rationale as to why a change needs to be made. And then once you've agreed that a change needs to be made, optimization of that treatment is also quite time consuming. Both the patient and the provider have a fear of hypoglycemia that's associated with insulin. Again, these ultra long insulin come with less of that of an issue, but that's still a well-documented fear that both providers and patients have. And the hesitancy overall to kind of be reluctant to use any type of injectable therapy.